Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Farm Focus. I'm Jim Finn. Later on in the programme, I will be talking to the IFA National Hill Committee Chairman, Flor McCarthy. But my first guest this morning is Tom Gleeson from Chagas. And given the weather we've had over the past week, and indeed the week before, there are concerns that there is a soil moisture deficit in parts of the county. And with me to talk about that, I have Tom Gleeson from Chagas. Good morning, Tom, and thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Jim.
I mentioned soil moisture deficits. I presume Chagas have been measuring them for the past couple of weeks. So what's it like at the moment?
Jim, I don't have the answer to that.
What can farmers do? I know we haven't been able to measure it, but looking at it, and you're looking at fields now, and they're beginning to burn up.
Yes, a lot of Chagas know that obviously the research farms, but there's also the Monta farms that would have, and a lot of farmers with weather stations throughout the country, and they'd be measuring soil moisture levels. So there's a lot of figures out there. Metairn be the main ones. The Metairn website would be the main one to go to there, Jim. But we are now in a situation because of the lack of rain that there is lack of moisture in the soil. And if you remember from past experiences, like, you know, at the moisture levels, it becomes a negative. Soil moisture deficit becomes a negative figure, and she starts building and building and building, and eventually becomes has a figure of 60. And we enter what they call a green drought, and I think then eventually hits a figure of 80, and then we venture to full-on brown drought where there's actually zero growth. So it depends how far off that scale we are, between zero to 80. Now, there's positive and negatives, and I know our instinct is to go with the negatives, you know, first and stuff, because that's what we have to be careful of, but there is positives there as well. Don't mind, Jim, I just want to say, maybe if, you know, I mean, there's caution there, because obviously as moisture is drawn out of the earth, you know, obviously growth can be an issue. Stress on stock, how do we utilize fertilizer, you know, fire warnings, all those things are problems. But then on the flip side of that, we have what structurally the earth is actually very, very strong when the soil moisture deficit there, and we can get a lot of work done on ground that we can't normally travel other times of the year.
Yeah, that makes sense. In weather like we've had, and particularly last week when we were breaking records, we'd say every day on day, as far as temperature was concerned for 2021 anyway, it's a while, maybe even better than anything we got in 2020, as far as temperature is concerned. The animals will eat less as well, won't they? They're not standing up grazing as much as they would be in if there's nice cool weather.
There's a bit of that, Jim, I suppose. You remember the cow, you know, she's not working as hard, or she, you know, like she's not trying to heat up her body, would say, or, you know, or the animals in general, so they're actually trying to cool down more, so they're not chasing as much calories, would say, than it would be during cold weather, or when they're moving around a lot. The other thing to remember, that's what it feels like, the cows are eating a lot less as well, because obviously you see them grazing, we see them chewing the cud more so than grazing, but that's because also part of the moisture level in the grass, or the dry matter in the grass is so high, so there could be, you know, the dry matter in the grass could be close to over 20% at the moment, where on a normal time of year on 16, so you're almost 50% more grass, or, you know, 40-50% more dry matter per mouthful. So the cow has to spend a lot less time just to get the same calorie intake. Moisture, water, as you know, and shade, they're the two big things for the cattle on very warm, hot days. But the other thing I say in terms of the grass, you know, with soil moisture deficit, the growth rates drop, and you need to be watching your growth rates. And I know we're always on harping on about people measuring the grass, and that's very much true. But even walking the fields on a weekly basis, if you see the grass covers in the farm dropping down, you need to take action. And what we say there, Jim, is normally during a drought or coming into a very dry period, try to keep the farm on a 25-day rotation. So for what you're saying there is that 4% of the farm has been grazed on a daily basis, or what's called, or over 2.5 days, 10% of the farm grazed thereabouts. And the idea is that you're kind of trying to keep covers on the farm, because sometimes what happens is as the growth starts dropping, the cows and the cattle start moving around the farm faster, and before you know it, there's no covers to actually bring on the grass. So So you give them daily allocations, and all you can do is supplement as necessary then. And that could be just implementing a bit of silage or a bit of meal until eventually, I suppose, as drought conditions would progress or could progress, you know, then eventually it could be supplemented full time. But the idea is that to actually hold the rotation first. It does buy you a bit of time.
Okay, you mentioned water. Of course, as we go further into weather like this, we're getting nearer and nearer to drought situations. So again, water is going to be extremely important.
It's very much important. I think we keep underestimating how much cows and sheep, but how much cows, particularly dairy cows, can drink. And mm-hmm. dairy cows, it's recorded there. Like, I know they're not in their peak at the moment, but you know, they'd still be doing easily 100 litres, drinking 100 litres a day. Suckle cows would be easily drinking 50 litres a day, if not more. And then also dry cattle wouldn't be far off that mark either, depending on the size. And so that's a large demand on water on the farm. The other side, because conditions are so dry at first, it's a good time to maybe address maybe leaking water troughs or overflowing water troughs, where maybe get a bit of gravel in or something, just steadying them once and for all and securing them. Where necessary, and taking account of what water pipe system is actually causing trouble on the farm that can be addressed maybe when finances are there. You know, if the half inch pipe needs to replace with 3/4 inch to get better flow rates into it, or if it's viable to be looking at sinking a well, for example, or setting up with the mains. Just having enough water on the farm. And I suppose the way to think of it, if a large herd of cows goes in into a field and there's only one water trough, they'll clean out that water trough very, very fast, regardless of the size. So you're really looking at flow. That flow rate is pretty much the key to keeping them hydrated through the day. But if you're dealing with a very small herd of just maybe a handful of suckler cows in the field and they have a water supply, well then in that case their flow rate isn't as important. So it's just get the system to match the herd demands. But water, once water becomes a problem, there is knock-on effect on the cow's body, to the point being where, a lot of cows, some cows can end up repeating and stuff, so it's just something to be very mindful of.
Okay, and I suppose one other thing that we want to be mindful in, particularly in this warm, clammy kind of weather that we're having, and that is the multiplicity of flies that are around that are making animals uncomfortable. So again, the farmer would want to be watching that, wouldn't he?
Very much so. Maiden heifers or, heifers haven't calved down yet, that's the last thing you want is a dry quarter or a blind teat with them when a heifer calves down next year. For the first time, especially after investing so much time to get into that stage, and right now when they're in calves as well. And that could be very simply just having a good pouring. Just make sure the pourings are topped up on the farm. That's probably just the simplest thing. Some people would go as far as things like Stockholm tar on the heifers and stuff if they want to move away from pourings and stuff, depending on your system and your setup. I suppose flies will congregate around dirty areas, so it's like the places where they can sit and they can move away from all that, so they're not being agitated, let's say. I suppose the other thing there, Jim. I mean, the other thing I would point there, and I suppose in terms of caution at the moment as well, is fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
When the soil moisture deficit is there, we've learned the hard way. That basically, you can go out with fertilizer at the moment, and I know you can go out with protected urea, for example, and you're not going to lose it. No, you will lose it after a few weeks, but you're not going to lose it initially to the atmosphere. And you can go out with nitrogen and you're not going to lose it. There's no rain to wash the way as such that, when the ground is so dry. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be used either.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about nitrogen use efficiency is one area that everyone's very much about focusing on. You want to get value for your money. So the advice there is hold until the rain comes, and when the ground moistens again, that's the time to go to fertilizer. That's when you get the best use from it on that side.
Okay, well, look, for this morning, we'll leave it there, Tom. I want to thank you ever so much for joining us and giving us all that good advice. And many of my listeners will be hoping that this heat wave lasts for a long time, and more people will be saying, I wish it was over immediately. I'm very, very badly off for some grass and some moisture. But unfortunately, the weather is going to come the way we're going to get it, and that's it.
And Jim, nothing will last. It will rain again. And I suppose just to finish up on a positive note, you have ground that's very, very strong at the moment. So if there's areas where you normally can't travel to that's springy and stuff, that you know now you can get in and cut the rushes or cut the heavy grass that cows mightn't have cleared off because it might be low stock around the farm, now is a great time to look into that. And mold ploughing. People forget about mold ploughing. Mold ploughing needs dry, cracking earth 14 inches below the surface for it to work right, and now is a lovely time to be doing that. So there's lovely opportunities at the moment as well, with the ground being so dry. And I suppose lime, a lot of times people can't put lime out because they feel the ground is too soft for the heavy machinery that involves it, but you have a window now. So just things, you know, but all the financials, depending on finances, if it can be done or not, but things like that to look at, you know, keeping the land right, keeping it grassy and, you know, kind of just and doing minor repairs as necessary whilst the ground allows you to do it, I suppose, Jim.
Yeah, very good advice, Tom. Okay, thank you ever so much, Tom. And that listener was Tom Deason from Chagas. Listeners, during the week, I got an email from the Irish Farmers Association with regard to trespass or hill walkers or people walking onto farms and particularly onto hill farms. And with me to talk about the problems that hill farmers are having at this particular time of the year, I now have online the IFA National Hill Committee Chair, Flor McCarthy. Flor is going to tell me about the concerns that his members have with regard to people not abiding by the countryside code and also people bringing dogs onto farmers' land. Good morning, Flor, and thanks very much for joining us.
Delighted there, Jim, but there's already an issue for farmers about the risk of people having accidents on hills, and it's becoming a bigger issue as we move forward every year because there's a big increase in the amount of people out there walking. You'd obviously imagine after lockdown there wouldn't be, but you know, I mean, people are getting out onto the hills, which is good, and there is recognised walks where farmers are being paid for, and we would encourage people to use them walks, but obviously they're wandering onto other hill lands as well, and It's a big issue, and a lot of our members are constantly on to us who's carrying the cost if there's an accident on these hills. And well, we've got a commitment over the, which is going on with 9 or 10 years, and we have got a commitment now that the Department of Rural Enterprise that's set up by Heather Humphreys will bring in an identification scheme that will cover farmers in the event of an accident, and they're going to launch it in 2 pilot schemes, one in Galway and one in the Migidicolly Reeks here in Kerry. And obviously we welcome this. These 2 pilots haven't been launched, and well, the idea of pilots is if the pilots prove successful, it can be rolled out to the rest of the country. And this is obviously what we want, because for us as farmers, and I even see it for myself, there are problems of getting public liability insurance on open upland is becoming more difficult because the insurance companies are looking at the risks that are involved here outside of the everyday farming risks. Well, up to now, maybe hillland was being assessed as a no-risk area that no longer applies. So I'm sure there's a number of our listeners will even be saying the same to you. They're finding difficulties in moving from one insurance provider to another. So obviously this pilot scheme can come quick enough. But as I said, the Borough Press release is calling on our Minister Heather Humphreys to launch it, at least in the 2 pilot areas. Obviously we would prefer if there's no wider, more coming all upland, but that hasn't been achieved yet. But about the other issue you raised in was about dogs coming onto hills, and we'd have a total agreement with the walkers as well. They don't want dogs on hills either, or us farmers, whether they're on leads or on or loose. We definitely don't want dogs going onto walks or going onto the hills, because they're causing problems with livestock, they're causing problems with other walkers. So they are a no-go area, and we're actually asking the people to obey the call to a code of walking. And obviously, rubbish and things leaving rubbish after on the hill is a no-go area as well. These are issues that we as farmers face on a day-to-day basis. And obviously, we would also appealing to walkers to show respect for the landowners, to talk to them, and to, if they ask them not to go somewhere, to respect their directions. Because if we are out in the hill gathering sheep, we don't want people coming against us. And I mean, it's a common sense approach. And I would have to say, overall, that bulk of walkers are very cooperative. But you will have the rogue walker, as I call him, that is not doing the thing as he said. And above all, another thing we are calling on Minister Heather Humphreys, it's a long-running situation since Minister Ring was in the department. There has been 2 million set aside for walks, and that 2 million hasn't been used to bring more walks, more way of walks into the system. The excuse they have at the moment, they're reviewing the walks and they're using COVID At this stage, I think it has to happen. There has to be more walks, but a doubling of the walks at the very from 40 to 80 walks is the very lowest we'll accept at this stage, and even we're looking for them to go further. And what this payment is already recognising from the inconvenience the farmers are experiencing from the walkers, but the contribution that these walkers are making to the whole tourist industry cannot be calculated. So I think it's only a very small contribution that we as farmers are looking from the government to recognise the inconvenience that we do face from the everyday movement of a lot of people through our property. And it is happening on a large scale. So I was in the gym. That's about roughly where we're at on the whole thing, I mean. And the ball is in the minister's court strongly to launch the insurance thing and obviously to bring more walks into the scheme. I'm told from calling to it, it will happen. But I'm at this stage, I'm saying time is up. It has to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should say that, because you mentioned 10 years ago, and you're quite correct. I remember talking to you, and I don't think you were this committee chairman at that particular time, but we did have a chat with regard to the problems that now exist with people coming onto farms, whether invited or not, and the insurance problem. So, and the problems that you're talking about this morning, Flor, even people invited onto farms now, there's insurance issues.
In the walk situation and in the hill situation, a lot of people don't live near where their hills are. There's no control. They're obviously dangerous environments, these cliffs, and there's more challenging walkers, and the walkers want to go in the most challenging position. In the winter, we're being a bad accident where 5 or 6 people be involved. We want the government to take that risk, and that's not unreasonable. Just going back as far as nearly the last time we started out on this campaign, which is many moons ago, but it's become very acute over the last 4 to 5 years, especially because people are becoming more conscious, more claim conscious. And we had the situation there in Wicklow where there was a claim made. Obviously, it wasn't successful.
Successful, yeah.
We don't want any individual farmer having to go out to defend an action. That can't be acceptable. An individual farmer, me as a landowner, would have to defend an action against somebody who's injured on my property. That isn't acceptable, and I get no benefit out of that person. Where you invite people onto your property, you're increasing your risk there, and we all have public liability insurance. Well, maybe we all haven't, but we should all have public liability insurance. Maybe I re-stress that. We should all have public liability insurance. But we want this insurance, we want the risks that are being imposed by people that who are uninvited onto your property be taken by the state. And I don't think that's an unreasonable request. And I think they are dragging their feet at this stage, and that's why we have issued the press release to try up the ante on the minister. Any people that is an issue for, they need to contact their own government TDs, because they have it priced. It's all there. It's ready to roll. I know at this stage it's only a pilot, but at least if the pilot rolls out and it is successful, we would hope that they can wind it out to the rest of the countryside. We have obviously raised issues with them as well. We weren't overly fully happy that they were covering all risks by people coming onto property, that in the winter a big number of people had a big fall. But these are real issues. People mightn't realise that there is big groups now going onto hills, and you just don't know what can happen. A slide, a stone move or something, that maybe wouldn't happen if there weren't a lot of people there.
One last question to you this morning, Flor, and it's got to do with tourism. I know it's very important in your part of the country, down in Kerry, but it's also important in Clare. What is the tourism business like currently down in County Kerry?
It's actually unbelievable. Kinmare town, I live near Kinmare, which is would be kind of a satellite town to Killarney. Since it opened, it's been unbelievable. 7 days of the week, town is absolutely jammed. We've never seen, talking to business people within the town, they've never seen the boom, which is a boom like never before. You see, it was good last year. It appears to be better this year. Actually, all the towns dingle. There's an absolute unbelievable amount of people there. 7 days of the week, you'd okay. We would have a normal tourist season, as I call it.
Yeah.
You'd have 7 days of the week, they'd be quiet. It's the opposite. But I presume because the Irish are coming on holidays, they have a bigger interest in pubs, they have a bigger interest in eating places. It's what's actually, we're looking at the weather is so good, because the amount of people eating out, it's like the courses are like beyond Spain at the moment down here.
Right.
The number of people around, And I mean, and we have to welcome that as well, because these businesses have been closed for a long period of time, and you know, we haven't maybe seen the full effects of it yet because of government subventions. And it would be actually interesting. A number of premises haven't opened. They haven't all opened, but the people that the businesses that are open are doing an unmerciful trade. And thankfully, so far, we appear to be fairly lucky with the virus. There don't seem to be a problem with it in the area. Maybe we have an odd case, but no major problem. But the boom, I call it a boom. I'm frightened myself the amount of people that are actually in our region at the moment. To me, I've never, in all my years living near the town, have seen it as busy as it has been over the last long number of weeks of this day, and there seems to be no ease off in it. We have to welcome it. I don't know where all the people are coming from, and even people within the town that have been in business in the town for years have said to me, what's going on? What's bringing them all? But that's the position down here, Jim. You might find it hard to believe, but that's actually the truth. There's a massive amount of people on holidays here.
Okay, and given the trimming that you gave to Cork last Sunday, I presume none of you will be venturing across the border for a few weeks.
Cork people are always welcome in Kerry, but you know, if we talk to any of the local publicans, they don't like Kerry Cork games, because you know, Cork people come to Kerry in a big way, and we're building a big motorway down there at the moment. But you know, the worry we have here in Kerry is that's not the real task in hand at all. It's Dublin, the big fish, you know, it's supposed to be the big like Tipperary. It's all about the big cup at the end of the day.
I'm sure it is. Well, let's hope that both Kerry and Tipperary will be celebrating by the end of August. Flor, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thanks ever so much for joining us this morning. That, listeners, was Flor McCarthy, the IFA National Hill Farm Committee Chair. That, listeners, is Farm Focus for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you will join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock. And after that, Mike Gardner presents Country Corner. And please enjoy the bank holiday weekend and stay safe.